The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam to all of you. So welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about hypocrisy in Islam. So join us.
Without your warmth, without your smile, without you by my side, the world was so cold, I felt so lost. Without your light, I felt so blind.
Today, Wednesday, is the 17th of Jamadil Awal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of day 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of December 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Munafiqun, the first verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسوله والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون.
When the hypocrites come to you, O Muhammad, they say, "We testify that you are the messenger of Allah." And Allah knows that you are His messenger, and Allah testifies that the hypocrites are liars.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The exegesis of the blessed verse requires a prelude regarding the point that the earliest instances of hypocrisy trace back to the noble prophet's migration to Medina, when the strong pillars of the Islamic faith and its triumph were reflected. There were almost no hypocrites in Mecca, since powerful opponents could utter and do whatever they like against the Islamic faith without entertaining fear in their hearts. Thus, there was no need to act hypocritically. The widespread of the Islamic faith in Medina weakened its enemies, since it was hard and at times impossible to explicitly deny the Islamic faith. Consequently, the defeated enemies made attempts at destructive stratagems in a new guise and thereby pretended to join the Muslims, but they pursued their clandestine measures.
Allah.
Hypocrisy in Islam. Hypocrisy is dangerous than kufr, because hypocrites in the broad daylight support the Muslims and their belief is on Allah alone. They outspokenly talk about Islam and how they love Allah and His commands are, but when the night arrives, they plot against the believers in the darkness. They think of ways to get away with the calamities that the believer has to suffer for his iman and faith. He fears to fight in the way of Allah and steps back from his support, thereby relieving the kufr and his dual face. The hypocrites are the most dangerous enemies of believers due to their corrupted hearts. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the problem of hypocrisy. Now we find that this hypocrisy have certain characteristics, certain traits. There's a Quranic surah in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Munafiqun. We find that in this surah, some aspects or some main moral traits of moral indications and moral traits of the hypocrites are indicated. In one of them is simply that the hypocrites say something, but they seldom believe in what they say, or they don't believe in what they say. Yes, apparently they say that, okay, they are Muslims, but in fact they are still non-Muslim, they are still a polytheist, or simply a non-Muslim. Another one is that hypocrites pretend to be helpers of Muslims, but in fact they try to harm the Muslim community and the Islamic religion and each and every Muslim they interact with. The effect of this is that apparently they come to help you, but in fact they make more problems for you. Let me give you an example. For example, your car may have a problem for which you may go to a mechanic in order to repair your car. If the mechanic pretends to be a good mechanic and pretends that he knows how to do his job in order to fix your car, in order to help you, and in order to remove any shortcoming with your car, but at the same time you find that he or she may have done something, but he or she has created many more problems for your car. Then you understand that this person cannot be a faithful person, cannot be relied on. And you understand that he pretended to be a good mechanic and to be able to fix your car, but in fact, he hasn't done his job properly. You find that, this is an instance of hypocrisy.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Now let's look at the effects of nifaq or hypocrisy. Giving oneself right to harass and hurt subordinates and never hesitate to cause them inconvenience or to create problems for them, harming them not only in actions but also hurt them while with the dagger of tongue by using derogatory language in their presence or in their absence by disclosing their secrets, by slandering them and making false accusations against them. Thus, as a Muslim from whose hands and tongues other Muslims should be safe, claim of adherence of such a person to Islam contradicts his reality, and the state of his heart and his actions are opposite to his claim of being a Muslim. Eagerness to be in the company of the rich, affluent, kings, rulers, and nobles, and having averse to be in the company of poor and needy. In this state, a person's monotheism and piety are not genuine. His piety and abstinence are for the sake of the world, and he is not sincerely devoted to Allah. The continuation of answer to this question, how to cure hypocrisy in Islam. In the previous episodes of today's special, we spoke about some clues on curing hypocrisy in Islam. Today, we continue that. Other clue is making dua to Allah, the Almighty. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, has the best cure for hypocrisy by reciting this supplication and this dua: O Allah, cleanse my heart from hypocrisy and my tongue from falsehood. Other clue is knowing your position in the world. Allah is the owner of the earth and all the universe, and everyone should know that they are nothing in this world. Don't be too arrogant and not fearing Allah.
The Quran in many verses speaks of hypocrisy and hypocrites. In many verses. In fact, we have an entire chapter in the Quran called the hypocrites, Surah Al-Munafiqun. In over 15 verses, the Quran speaks of the hypocrites. Surah Al-Tawbah or Al-Bara'ah, Surah Al-Bara'ah or Al-Tawbah. a lot of it deals with hypocrites, the hypocrites of Medina. Today, I was reading Surah Al-Bara'ah, Surah Tawbah. From beginning to end, Allah is speaking to the hypocrites, rebuking the hypocrites, lecturing the hypocrites, scolding the hypocrites, telling us of their qualities and characteristics. Why? Why the emphasis on hypocrites? You see, hypocrites at the time, they were a very dangerous faction in Islam. They were a political party. They weren't just random individuals here or there, scattered individuals. They were an organized political party set out to destroy Islam. How did hypocrisy form in Islam? And what is the history of hypocrisy in Islam? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. According to Ash-Shaykh al-Subhani, the famous theologian, scholar, jurist, historian, he says that during the days of Mecca, during the formative days, there were no hypocrites. In the days of Mecca, there were no hypocrites. Hypocrites began to form in Medina when the two famous tribes, Al-Aws and Khazraj, they converted to Islam. Many of them converted to Islam. Some of them did not wish to convert. Some of them did not want to convert. However, because they were under pressure, even though Rasulullah did not force anyone to convert, none of them were forced, but they felt they were under pressure. Their tribes had converted. How could they stay? How could they remain as unbelievers? So they converted. However, they pretended to be Muslim, while deep down inside, they were still not Muslim. They were still disbelievers. They were munafiqeen. They were hypocrites.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, hypocrisy in Islam, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till another visiting, thank you very much, and we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought. Hello, dear friends, especially our Christian listeners, for the benefit of whom we present a wonderful passage found in Islamic text that evokes the prophecy of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John regarding the Paraclete, or the last and greatest of God's messengers, whom Ayah 6 of Surah Saf of the Holy Quran specifically says is Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Thus I charge you, O son of Mary, that you bring news to the children of Israel of the Master of Messengers and my most endeared, who is Ahmad, having a red camel and a face like the moon, who is a shining light, a pure heart, courageous, venerably modest. Verily, he is a mercy to the worlds and master of the children of Adam on the day of his meeting me, the most honored of the foremost and the last of the messengers from me.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very beautiful tradition from Hazrat Zahra Salamullah Alayha, and it requires a little bit of explanation. For when you look at it on face value, it doesn't seem to, you know, have much meaning to it. But if you go deeper into it and see the meaning and the reason why she mentions this Salamullah Alayha, you know, it is really profound. Obviously, the explanation that we give is very limited. There are obviously other explanations that also be given. And obviously, because of the lack of time, we have to just stick to one of these possible explanations. So the hadith is this. She says, Salamullah Alayha, that the smile upon the face of a believer, right? The smile upon the face of a believer makes it incumbent for the owner of that smile, right? So obviously the mu'min who's doing it, the believer who's doing it, to enter into paradise. Right? So this is one type of smile. Then she continues and she says that this smile upon the face of a person who is our enemy, right? Who is our enemy and the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on and so forth. That smile, right, will make it, you know, incumbent upon that person the fire of the hereafter. So now we think, what does the smile have to do with anything? Right? So you have two types of smiles, the differences in the smiles. One will make the owner of that smile enter into paradise. The second will make the owner of that enter into the fire of hell. One possible explanation is the reason for why those persons or people are smiling.
It is possible to say that the mu'min is smiling because he has done something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has helped a fellow believer. He has done something good. He is smiling just to be friendly with somebody else. All for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why he's smiling. But the reason why they're smiling. And then on the other side, that person who is an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may be smiling because he did something wrong. He may be smiling because he got away with something. He may be smiling because he has a particular idea in his mind that he wishes to do. He may be smiling because he sees that the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt are in a desperate situation. So these are all possibilities that why, you know, these two smiles of that particular person who's doing it have two different results. It is because why that smile is on the face of that individual. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have that smile of the mu'min and to smile when, you know, it is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to smile in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of this program, I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter, and then we're going to listen to a recitation recited by that famous reciter, and after it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned. Well, today we're going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Ahmad Muhammad Amir. This Egyptian reciter was born in 1927. He memorized the Noble Quran at an early age, when he was 11 years old. Then he progressed in recitation of the Noble Quran so fast that he was entitled a Sheikh during adolescence. In 1963, he joined Egyptian Quran Radio, and Sudan was the first country where he traveled to. Then he traveled to many other Muslim countries, and in 1959, he took a trip to Palestine. In 1969, he traveled to France, US, Brazil, and England, and he also traveled to Iran as well. In 2013, he was invited to the Islamic Republic of Iran as a referee of international Quran competition, and after competition he visited Ayatollah Khamenei along with other officials of the competition and recited the Noble Quran in the presence of the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, despite he was banned from reciting by physicians. We lost this star of the sky of recitation in 2016 at the age of 89. May Allah bless him. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Sheikh Ahmad Muhammad Amir reciting Suratul Mu'minun verses 84 to 90, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. Say, whose is the earth, and whosoever is therein, if you know? They will say, it is Allah's. Say, will you then not remember? Say, who is Lord of the seven heavens, and Lord of the great throne? They will say, Allah. Say, will you then not fear Allah? Say, in whose hand is the sovereignty of everything? And he protects, while against whom there is no protector, if you know. They will say, to Allah. Say, how then are you deceived and turned away from the truth? Nay, but we have brought them the truth, and verily they are liars.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لمن الأرض ومن فيها إن كنتم تعلمون سيقولون لله قل أفلا تذكرون قل من رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم سيقولون لله قل أفلا تتقون قل من بيده ملكوت كل شيء وهو يجير بل أتيناهم بالحق وإنهم لكاذبون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Mu'minun, verses 84 to 90, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Muhammad Amir. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In verse number 84, we have قُلْ لِمَنْ قُلْ لِمَنْ we have a sakin letter, we have a lam sakina, followed by another lam, which has a kasra. So
two separate words,
and idgham takes place here, which is called idghamul mutamathilain.
Mutamathilain,
which means two like letters.
Yes.
Whenever one is sakin, whenever a letter is sakin, and it's followed by another letter, which is the same letter as the first letter, and it has a haraka, you have to do idgham.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you only pronounce the second letter
with tashdeed.
And we have iltiqa'u sakinain in the phrase limanil arudu. But the good thing is that the kasra is written. Okay? Yeah. So this helps.
Yep. Iltiqa'u sakinain means juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition or. When two sakin letters meet, okay, the meeting of two sakin letters. Iltiqa comes from liqa, which means encountering, meeting.
Yeah, and what happens?
The first sakin letter gets a kasra. Okay, so we have liman, which has a sukun, the nun has sukun, and then we have the lam of al-ard, which is also sakin. And of course, the hamzatul wasl is disregarded.
Ignored, yeah.
So we have al-nun sakina followed by lam sakina. This is al-tiqa'u sakina, but in most Qur'ans, the kasra is already written.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about it. The only time that you have to worry about al-tiqa'u sakina in terms of pronouncing it correctly is whenever there is tanween. Okay?
Yes.
For example, because
actually tanween means nun sakina.
Yes,
it has a nun sakina.
It has a nun sakina, but nothing is written.
Yes.
There's no sign of pronouncing the nun sakina of the tanween with kasra in the text of the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, we have lahwan fadlu. Lahwan in fadlu. So we have two nun sakinas right next to each other.
Because in fadlu, the alif of in fadlu is hamzatul wasl.
That's right, exactly. So it's not counted.
Okay. Yes.
And the nun sakin of the tanween gets a kasra.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not written. There's no way that you could tell. You have to know the rule.
Yes.
Okay. Al-arudu. Al-arud. The ra has a sukun.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that ra can be pronounced in two ways. With tafkhim
and tarqiq,
or with tarqiq. Okay. Whenever ra is sakin, we have to look at the previous letter most of the time.
Yes.
Not all the time. And if the previous letter is a fatha or dhamma, we have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim.
Yes, with thickness.
With thickness. If it's preceded by kasra, we have to pronounce it with tarqiq.
Of course, after looking at the next letter.
Yes. If the next letter is not a letter of istirla. This is really important. If it's a letter of istirla, if there is a letter of istirla after the ra sakina, even if it's preceded by kasra, you still have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim, not with tarqiq. For example, mirsad, qirtas. Okay, and what is tafkhim of ra? Is it different from the tafkhim of the letters of istirla?
The tongue is raised in general.
There is a small difference. Ra is velarized. Okay, the back of the tongue raises toward the soft palate, the velum, right? And that's why it's called velarization, because it's the velum that is involved.
But the letters of istirla are pharyngealized.
Yes, they are pharyngealized. And four of them are also velarized. The letters of itbaq.
Yes.
Ta. Ta, la, sad, and laud. We also have where the back of the tongue and the body of the tongue is also raised.
And isn't it so delicate? Can we ignore it for beginners?
Yes, of course. Beginners, they don't have to necessarily learn all of the rules of tajweed, but this is for perfecting our tajweed, okay?
Yes.
Even, for example, for someone who is learning reading of the Quran and not even tajweed, okay? We have just being able to read off the text of the Quran,
yes,
off a copy of the Quran, this is the first stage of learning recitation of Quran, okay?
Yes. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. Allahumma wa as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatu wa anzala bika 'inda ash-shada'id hajata wa 'azma fi ma 'indaka raghbata. Allahumma Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about the part of the Kumail supplication where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَعَظُمَ فِيمَا عِنْدَكَ رَغْبَتُ O Allah, I ask you with the asking of one whose craving for what is with you has become intense. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam was completely aware of what is with the Almighty Allah, and it was based on this fact, it was based on this awareness that when supplicating, he used to say humbly,
that my craving for what is with you has become intense. We were looking at some of the rewards and bounties of the Almighty Allah in order that it may add to our enthusiasm for reaching it. We sufficiently discussed the different rewards for the believers, the different verses and traditions, and we were talking about paradise. The Holy Quran says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فأولئك يدخلون الجنة يرزقون فيها بغير حساب. Whoever does good, whether female or male, and he is a believer, he shall enter the garden in which he shall be given sustenance. In another lengthy verse, the Holy Quran clearly talks about the different rewards of believers, and specifically the paradise and what is with it. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. For the believing man and believing women, they are guardians of each other. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They enjoin good, they forbid evil. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. They keep up prayer and pay the poor rate. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. They obey Allah and they obey His apostle. أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will show mercy to these ones. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Surely Allah is Almighty and wise. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah has promised to the believing man and the believing women gardens beneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. To abide in them forever. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. And goodly dwelling in gardens of perpetual abode. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٍ. And best of all is Allah's goodly pleasure. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the grand achievement. In fact, this cannot be accounted as all that is with the Almighty Allah. But where the Almighty Allah says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. The best of all is His goodly pleasure. We would understand that this is all that matters. If we reach this Ridwan, it's done.
Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues. There is no God but you, glory and praise be to you. I have oppressed my own soul, I had the audacity to sin by my ignorance. I have relied upon my ancient remembrance of you and your grace towards me. O Allah, my Lord, how many of my ugly deeds have you concealed? How many of my grievous afflictions have you abolished? And how many stumblings of mine have you prevented? How many of my detestable acts have you averted?
And how many of my undeserving praises have you spread abroad?
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here,
feeling so good
about all the things that we went through,
knowing that God is pleased with us too.
It's not a dream,
this is so true,
and we know we'll be here forever.
The feeling is indescribable,
knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in this regard has stated, اعلموا أنه من اشتاق إلى الجنة سارع إلى الحسنات وسلى عن الشهوات. Beware that who is eager to come into paradise, he will rush to goodness and he will forget lusts. ومن أشفق من النار بادر بالتوبة إلى الله من ذنوبه. And the one who is afraid of hell, he will rush to Allah using repentance, وَرَاجَعَ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ, and he will avoid the unlawful. But as you all know, this has its own price. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has clearly stated, ثَمَنُ الْجَنَّةِ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ, the cost of paradise is good deeds. So when Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَعَظُمَ فِيمَا عِنْدَكَ رَغْبَتُهُ, his craving for what is with you has become intense. He is aware of all these things. He has all these rewards and bounties at the same time in his mind. And that's why his craving is intense. His enthusiasm is intense. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up? In a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day, when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws, Welcome to the program, Sheikh Tawi.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Okay, Sheikh Tawid, we are talking about the Islamic laws pertaining to prayer, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Last time, you talked about the time for the daily prayers. Of course, we haven't finished them yet. You told us about the morning prayer, the difference between the false dawn and the true dawn.